is the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
And a very good morning to everybody out there on this fine Sunday, officially in February, already flying through 2025. As I can't believe it's already the, fourth or fifth hot seat that we've done in the big year of 2025, and things have already gotten crazy. Huge weekend around the world of sports. We're breaking it all down for you. Welcome to the hot seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks. And yes, of course, we're leading Luka, Anthony Davis. I had to play this song. So sorry it's over, Dallas Maverick fans. Luka on his way to LA, paired up with LeBron James. We'll break the trade down for you. Of course, we have to lead with that. I still cannot believe that this is real. When I saw the Shams notification last night, I genuinely thought the dude got hacked. I'm at a loss for words. Don't know what else to tell you. At a complete loss for words on this Luka Anthony Davis trade. We'll break it down for you a little bit more. We'll set up the rest of the show too. As I'm all over the place. I mean, the fact that it's 2025 and Luka Doncic is a LA Laker with LeBron James. Cannot believe it. We also had a crazy slate yesterday across college basketball. Plenty of upsets. Plenty of ranked teams going down. We'll break that down for you coming up at about 11:15, 11:30. We'll have the hottest headlines of the week besides the obvious one. Of course, we're not going to throw Luka and AD in as one of the hottest headlines of the week. It's the hottest headline of the week. There's no competition. So we're leading right with that. That deserves its own segment by itself. And UAlbany Baseball's head coach John Mueller joins us at 11:45 for his weekly segment, breaking down the NFL championship games last Sunday. Maybe we'll talk a little bit Luka and AD and preview the Super Bowl a little bit. Not too much Super Bowl talk today, though. We'll have next Sunday as well. Don't worry. We'll be breaking down more of the Super Bowl preview next Sunday. But for today, it's basketball, basketball, basketball. It's that time of year. And, you know, without further ado, let's dive right into it here. I mean, Luka Doncic is actually a Los Angeles Laker. I cannot get that thought out of my mind. This has to be the biggest trade in recent years. I can't think of a trade across all sports, not even just basketball. I cannot think of a trade right now off the top of my head in any sport going back the last 30, 40 years that is on this level of magnitude, where you have a future face of the league getting shipped off to one of the biggest markets to play with the greatest player of all time in the sport in LeBron James, arguably. And I can't think of any other trade. I mean, you had, you know, you talk football, you had Herschel Walker back in the day. I can't even really think of that many other trades yet. Matt Stafford and Jared Goff, but none of those hold the same magnitude as Luka Doncic and Anthony Davis. You know, this is a league-breaking trade, and I'm not saying that in a way that all of a sudden the Lakers or the Mavericks are title favorites or anything, but if you want to look at future implications, this could change things up in the league dramatically. Obviously, Luka was eligible for a Supermax extension this summer from the Mavericks. He's not anymore now that he's with LA. And he has a player option in 2026, if I remember correctly. So there's a real chance that the Lakers just traded away Anthony Davis in what could potentially be one of LeBron's last years playing in the NBA for Luka Doncic, a guy who could technically leave them after one season if he doesn't think he fits into their future plans. Wow. The full trade breakdown, we'll start there. The LA Lakers receive from the Dallas Mavericks Luka Doncic, 25-year-old star, Maxi Kleba, and Markieff Morris. Dallas receives Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a Lakers 2029 first-round pick and the Utah Jazz, who are the third team in the deal, receive Jalen Hood-Schifino, who I don't think is a bad player by any means. Very, you know, young, plenty of potential there. And the Clippers 2025 second round pick and the Mavs 2025 second round pick. And the thing that's crazy about this trade is, you really mean to tell me the Mavericks got one first round pick for Luka Doncic? I mean, we just saw Mikal Bridges get traded for five first round picks, or four, five, whatever the number may be, four or five first round picks. We saw 2 years ago, Rudy Gobert, as great of a defensive center as he is, the man has no skill set besides defense and rebounding. He got traded for eight first round picks, and the Dallas Mavericks get one in return for Luka Doncic. Okay, yeah, they got Anthony Davis too, whatever. They got a 34-year-old Anthony Davis who is obviously still a top big man in the NBA, but is on the decline, always had injury history. He could go down at any possible moment. Now, does this trade make the Mavs better? Yes, I think in the short term, this trade makes the Mavericks better. We'll get to the rosters and breaking all that down in a second, but as far as when you see a player of his magnitude, not even of Luka's magnitude, because he's a franchise star, a future face of this league. He's up there with the Wembys and the Jokic's and the Giannis's and the guys that are going to carry this league after the former stars in LeBron and Kevin Durant and Steph Curry all call it quits. And they only get one first round pick for him. Normally, when a guy of this caliber gets traded, you are talking five at the minimum first round picks. Like I said, we just saw that go for Mikal Bridges in the offseason. And yet somehow, some way, the Lakers absolutely fleece the Mavericks. I understand giving up AD is certainly hurts the Lakers' front court depth. As you know, we'll break down the rosters now. As I mean, it's, look, yes, the Lakers got the 25-year-old star in Luka Doncic, but I mean, if you think that this trade makes them a win-now team, you are sorely mistaken. Okay, their starting center is Jackson Hayes. And yeah, they're getting Maxi Kleba for some big man depth, fine. But their starting center is Jackson Hayes, followed by, sure, Maxi Kleba, then Christian Koloko and Christian Wood, who doesn't even play. At the four, you have Rui Hachimura, Dorian Finney-Smith, Jared Vanderbilt, who, again, doesn't really play, usually injured. And I guess they would probably play Maxi Kleba at either the four or the five. Not sure exactly which one. Maybe they would start Kleba and Jackson Hayes, move LeBron to the three. Don't know where J.J. Redick goes from here with this lineup. But, I mean, I think I could score on this Lakers team with the defense they're going to throw at teams. Luka, we already know Luka wasn't the greatest of defenders. And that was kind of built into the Mavericks' game plan as to where Luka isn't going to stop a guy one-on-one. He'll let someone drive by him, but then your defense is ready to collapse and shrink the floor. Now, that isn't necessarily a system built for winning. I mean, they made the NBA Finals last year, but then they got absolutely decimated by the Boston Celtics. So we're told from sources that this trade was initiated by the Dallas Mavericks just a few days ago, and no one knew about this. This was kept under the radar. You know, the Mavericks went straight to LA and you know, said, well, what do you want? You know, what do you want for Luka Doncic? You know, we'll take Anthony Davis. We'll take Max Christie. But I mean, there had to have been something going on with Luka and the Mavs organization for you to trade your franchise player, the best player that your franchise has ever seen. I love Dirk. Love Dirk. Luka is better than Dirk ever was. Dirk was not making five all-NBA teams in his first seven seasons. Luka absolutely was this franchise's future. And now you get maybe a couple years out of AD. And if they don't win a championship with this group, this trade might come back to bite the Mavericks in the behind pretty badly. You know, phone lines are open today, 518-476-1045. If you got a reaction to this Luka Doncic, Anthony Davis trade, give us a call. We'll get your hot take out. out over the airways, but man, I'm still in shock. I that's all I can say. I am in absolute shock. Cannot believe that this was real. I really did think that Shams got hacked last night, but it's real. Everybody's obviously reporting on it today. And if you ask me, in the short term, who came out better? The Mavericks come out better. A starting lineup of Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, PJ Washington, Anthony Davis, and Derek Lively is a very scary lineup. That's a pretty solid defensive team. And according to Mavericks general manager Nico Harrison, who was quoted as saying, "I believe defense wins championships." Maybe a little shot at Luka for his lack of effort on the defensive side there. But yeah, Nico Harrison believes that defense wins championship. And that is a solid defensive team with two great scorers, great veteran scorers at that in Kyrie Irving and Klay Thompson. So that Mavericks team is definitely scary. They're going to be maybe not contenders, maybe not title favorites, but they're certainly up there with the possibility of making it back to the finals with this group. Now, as for the Lakers, I don't know. They're obviously still a playoff team. Anytime you have LeBron James and Luka Doncic, you're going to make the playoffs. But right now, this team isn't that good. And I think, like I said, the big issue for them is their front court depth. We'll have to see if maybe they make another move, go after a guy like a Miles Turner or, I don't even know who else they could go for as far as another big man. But maybe Christian Wood gets his way back into the lineup and has a bit of a comeback year. Either way, their front court depth is just not great. You know, they're not looking that solid down low, and that's going to come back to bite them when they end up matched up against a Denver Nuggets with Nikola Jokic, or if they match up with the Oklahoma City Thunder and Chet Holmgren is back from injury. If they face any elite big man when it comes to playoff time, they're going to lose. I don't care if Luka and LeBron combine for 70 or 80 points. If they give up 130, it doesn't matter. They're not going to be able to rebound. They're not going to be able to score efficiently down low or defend down low by any means. Look, it sets the Lakers up for the future. It does. But they got to secure Luka ASAP. If they don't secure Luka and get him to sign an extension next year, this could all be for nothing. Remember, Luka has a player option in 2026. There is every possibility that the Lakers just traded Anthony Davis in what is probably one of the last years that they'll have LeBron James at a competitive level for a Luka Doncic that could be gone within 2 years. And sure, AD could have been gone within 2 years as well. He also has a contract expiring in 2026, if I remember correctly. But this is a crazy move. I mean, whatever way you look at it, there's ways you can look at it as it's a win for the Lakers, it's a win for the Mavs, it's also a loss for both of them. This is a very rare and even trade, even in the aspect of both teams won some and lost some. You know, the Lakers, future-wise, yeah, they're set up, but they got to secure Luka. In the right now, they got worse, if you ask me, just because they lost any big man depth whatsoever. AD just went on ESPN the other day and had an interview saying, we need to go out and get another big. And they got one in Maxi Kleba. They traded away their only starting big to get him, though. It's just absolutely crazy stuff coming out of the NBA. Honestly, until I see Luka and AD playing a game in their new respective jerseys, there's a small part of me that still believes that all of a sudden Shams going to come out and say, oh, my bad, guys, was on vacation for 2 days, didn't realize that this happened, someone must have hacked me. But like, until I see them actually playing, I don't know if I believe that this trade is real. It might just all be in our heads, but for now, if it's in our heads or if it's real, it's crazy and it's shaking up the NBA. And if you haven't seen the videos of guys like Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal finding out about this trade live while sitting on the bench in those West Coast games, it's some pretty funny stuff, because their faces look just like all of ours. Absolute shock. But that's obviously the big story coming out of the world of sports right now. I'm excited to see Luka and LeBron play together. I will say that. That is going to be pretty sweet to see. All right, when we come back, we'll dive into the scene around college hoops and go over the Saturday slate and break it all down for you as we're getting to that time, 1 month away from March Madness, Selection Sunday next month. Can't wait. We'll be right back here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio. Stay with us.
Vinny Fredericks here from the Hot Seat, letting you know to download the free, that's right, the free 104.5 The Team app on the App Store today to be up to date with when our shows are going on, when the Hot Seat is happening every Sunday morning, and when the rest of our programming updates come out, as you will be able to listen to our shows live from your phone anytime you want. So be sure to go to the App Store, download the free 104.5 The Team app today.
It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
Yeah. The ones that hate me the most look just like me.
I tell you what, I still can't believe Luka Doncic is an LA Laker. I could genuinely talk this whole hour just about Luka and this Anthony Davis trade. The fact that LeBron, Luka, and AD, all of them were in the dark. Nobody in the entire league had any sort of idea this was happening. And you know what? This is how I think trades should be. And call me old school. Okay, call me whatever. But I feel like this is how it should be. No rumors, no speculation, no demands or list of teams that a certain player wants to go to. No, let's just get surprise notifications at 12:30 at night or whatever time. You know what? This actually just reminded me. This is probably the closest I've been as far as being shocked and absolutely surprised by a trade out of nowhere. This is reminding me of Paul George being traded from the Oklahoma City Thunder to the LA Clippers, because that was one of those trades where it was 2-3 in the morning. Maybe it's a little different because you knew something was kind of happening. There were rumblings, there were rumors and theories that something was going to shake up, but it was almost out of nowhere. And going to bed at whatever time and then waking up and seeing at 3 in the morning that Woj or Shams, whoever put out the tweet saying that Paul George gets traded to team up with Kawhi Leonard. That's what this is reminding me of. You know, it's out of left field, completely out of nowhere. And I think what people aren't talking about enough is that it's a big deal that LeBron didn't know this was going on. That the GM or the front office, whatever you want to call him, the fact that LeBron James was in the dark about this. And he obviously had a very good relationship with Anthony Davis. The only thing LeBron has said about this trade so far is not even about getting Luka or playing with him. It's about the reports that LeBron and AD were starting to grow frustrated with one another, and that's why the Lakers traded him. No, LeBron came out and said, "You a liar," basically, with a redacted word in the middle there that I'm not going to pronounce on air for you guys. But LeBron has not said a single word about the trade itself, just that, no, him and AD were fine. That's not why this trade happened. And it's a very big deal, if you ask me, because LeBron James throughout his whole entire career was that guy where whatever franchise he was on, whether he was in Cleveland, Miami, LA, if he told the front office he wanted a certain player, or if he said, "I want to try and make this happen, I want you to trade away this guy," teams will listen. Because he's your franchise player. He's the reason you're competitive and relevant, and you will do whatever it takes to make him happy. The LA Lakers right now aren't operating in a, we need to make this deal to make LeBron happy. They're operating in a, LeBron might be retired within the next 2 years. We need to figure out what our plan is post-LeBron era. And they decided, well, we're probably not winning this year anyway, even with LeBron in one of his last couple years and AD. We don't have the big man next to AD down low. We don't have the depth at guard outside of Austin Reeves. We don't have whatever it may be. The Lakers realized they didn't have it this year. They were not winning the championship. And by the way, phone lines are open if you got a reaction or a hot take on this Luka Anthony Davis trade. We'll play it for you. We'll react to it live on air. I'm already getting what's the word? I'm already getting hassled for my take on Rudy Gobert in the last segment. But come on, 8 first round picks for Rudy and Luka only nets 1 in return. Absolutely mind-blowing stuff. But again, it's a big deal that LeBron didn't know about this. What that tells me is that the Lakers realize, listen, he might be gone soon. We got to think about what's best for the franchise. And if trading away one of LeBron's buddies to bring in the next face of our franchise is how we got to do it, then that's what we got to do. And it just, it goes to show that LeBron is nearing the end. He's getting to that point where you can't just bank on keeping LeBron happy and that'll keep your team competitive. LeBron hasn't been able to get it done the last few years. And that's not all. That's not just on him. That's on the Lakers organization and the injuries they've dealt with and the matchups they've had. They just can't get by the Denver Nuggets in the playoffs. For whatever reason, they cannot beat the Denver Nuggets in the playoffs year in and year out. And I think they realize that they're probably not beating the Nuggets. They're probably not beating the Thunder or the Grizzlies. Well, maybe the Grizzlies or the Rockets just because they have the more experience. But they're not beating a lot of these Western Conference teams that are really running the table right now. And I think that they understand that, you know, they need to look ahead. If they're not winning the championship this year, let's salvage whatever we can and get something to at least make us relevant for the next, you know, 10 years. But first they got to re-sign Luka. And it's just the reports coming out on, you know, the fact that the Mavericks didn't believe Luka was going to be their franchise building block or anything, or, you know, that there were concerns about his conditioning or the injury risks, whatever it may be. I just can't believe that the Mavericks would change so quickly on him. You know, this is a guy that literally just brought you to your first finals since 2011. And I don't know. I guess they didn't think that he was going to get them back there. And it's absolutely ridiculous. It's an absolutely insane trade. And the reactions that you're seeing online, you know, all the players' reactions, all the tweets that have been thrown out. The funniest part about this is watching people try to make the comparison, like in NFL terms, this is like, you know, even Adam Schefter tweeting an NFL equivalent. Imagine the Ravens traded Lamar Jackson and more to the Bengals for Joe Burrow and whatever in the middle of the season. Maybe, you know, a little bit different because obviously you're talking division rivals, and I don't really know. There's honestly no real NFL comparison or even MLB comparison. This kind of stuff only happens in the NBA. And this is the kind of shakeup that I think the NBA needs, as people want to talk about, well, viewership is declining, yada, yada, yada. Adam Silver's talking about 10-minute quarters. No, you just need some crazy headline to come out and people will start paying attention. You think people won't tune in to watch Luka and LeBron play together on the same court? You're damn right we're going to tune in for that. You think people aren't going to want to tune in if we get a potential playoff series between, or even I'll take a play-in game. Just give me one game with playoff implications between the Mavericks and the Lakers, and we can watch AD and Luka go back and forth on their new teams. That's what I want to see. That is how you get viewership back up. You got to start creating rivalries again. You got to find a way to make this product more interesting than it already is. And they found a way to do that. And look, say what you will about Luka's defense and his conditioning and whatever, the dude's gonna make LA a championship contender for the next 10 years if he stays. Whatever his defense is, you know, whether he gets better or not, his offensive ability alone is going to make the LA Lakers relevant. But again, and I've said this so many times throughout the show, they need to retain him. You gotta at least find a way to get him to re-sign with you. I don't care if it's next year, or maybe you let him pick up his player option in 2026, try to get him a Supermax the next offseason. Whatever they got to do. If Luka leaves the Lakers, though, this is going to go down as one of the biggest fumble trades in NBA history, because you traded away your shot at least staying NBA championship competitive this season. all for a guy that could potentially leave you in 2 years. And, you know, the craziest part is now you can say, all right, the Atlanta Hawks won the Trae Young, Luka Doncic trade on draft night. I think you can make the claim that the Atlanta Hawks officially won that trade, despite the fact that, yeah, Luka brought the Mavs to the finals and got them Anthony Davis, whatever. At least Trae Young is still on the team that traded for him on draft night. We'll get a quick shout out to the phone lines here. Let's see who we've got on line one. You've reached the hot seat. Where are you from? What's your name, caller?
Corey from Greenwood.
Hey, Corey, what's going on, man?
I'm a Laker fan.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I remember you're a Laker fan. All right, what's your reaction? Luka Doncic and LeBron James, are you hyped up?
Well, first thing, I woke up this morning and I saw Lakers-Mavs trade. I thought it was LeBron being traded to the Mavs to play with Luka and Kyrie.
Ooh. Now that would have shaken up the league.
I this is almost as exciting as the Lakers almost getting Chris Paul at the time when he was in his prime.
Really? You say it's that up there as far as, you know, good trades for the Lakers that, you know, they wouldn't even allow Chris Paul to go to the Lakers. They vetoed that one. You think this is up there with that trade?
I think so, because if I'm LeBron, yeah, I'm mad because I lost my friend and Anthony Davis and I wasn't told or discussed about it. But another part that, you know, maybe this will work. Maybe this, I'm playing with one of the top point guards in the league and I'm a Laker fan and I knew that we needed another piece with LeBron and Anthony Davis. We needed another point guard or a legit point guard. I thought a Melo or a Trae Young or mm-hmm. something, but getting Luka, I was like, whoa. But getting rid of Anthony Davis, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's certainly.
But you're right. They need a big presence, and I don't know if they can call Chicago and get Vukovic or call the Wizards and get that other tall guy. I don't know. We got to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call, Corey. Have a good one, man. It was Corey from Greenwich, one of our favorite listeners, one of our loyal guys. But yeah, I mean, it's for a Lakers fan, it's certainly exciting. You know, it's no matter what. Sure, it sucks to lose AD, but you still got Luka frickin' Doncic. That's a power move, and the fact that they were able to do it with only trading one first round pick, that's the biggest thing for me. They traded away one future first round pick and got Luka Doncic in return. I mean, of course, you have to trade Max Christie, Jalen Hood-Schifino, and Anthony Davis as well. But still, you got Luka Doncic, and you traded AD in one first-round pick. That's solid. But you know what? Corey makes a good point. Vucevic is a name out there that I forgot to mention. He certainly could be on the trade block as the Chicago Bulls kind of blow things up. Washington, another team to kind of look at. You got the Pelicans as well, who could certainly be looking to trade some of their bigs. I mean, I don't really see them moving on from Yvesse Missy this soon, but, you know, a Javonte Green or a Daniel Tice could be a guy that ends up on the move. But yeah, the Lakers certainly will be looking for some big man depth as we approach the trade deadline's February 6th at, I want to say, 3:30 p.m. Might be wrong on the time, but I want to say around 3:30 on February 6th. And Jonas Valanciunas from the Wizards that Corey mentioned, another name that certainly is one to look at. Jusuf Nurkic, big man for the Phoenix Suns, hasn't been getting playing time under Mike Budenholzer lately. So certainly another name to look at as the Lakers. If they do get some big man depth and get a solid front court presence before the deadline ends, then I'll be ready to say, okay, the Lakers are still NBA title contenders. But we'll have to wait and see. We'll get to the college basketball scene coming up next year, and we'll dive into the hottest headlines of the week around the world of sports. And then stay tuned at 11:45. It's UAlbany Baseball's John Bam Bam Mueller joining us for his weekly spot here on the hot seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio.
Vinny Fredericks from the hot seat here. And if you want to be up to date with when episodes are going to come out, when it's going to be live on air on 104.5 The Team, and if you want to see clippings and snippets of interviews and other on-air moments from my time here with 104.5 The Team. Follow my social media accounts at VFredsMedia, at VFREDDS Media on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and more to stay up to date on everything and all things Hot Seat and more.
It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
And we are back here on the Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio, that free 104.5 The Team app. It is that time. We've been talking about one of the biggest headlines around sports for the first half hour here on the show, but there's some other big headlines out there. So while they might not be the absolute hottest headlines of the week, there's still some pretty spicy headlines out there. So let's get to them. Hottest headlines of the week around the world of sports and beyond. Starting out, we'll stick with the NBA. A couple quick notes here, some injury announcements. OG Anunoby of the New York Knicks is out for at least an indefinite period as he suffered a leg injury in the 128-112 loss to the LA Lakers just the other day here. In a transition play, Anunoby caught the ball at the three-point line, appeared to plant his right foot awkwardly as he would then stumble over without any contact from anyone, and Tibbs immediately called timeout and got his wing 3-and-D wing ace out of the game. And Anunoby had left the Knicks bench area for an extended amount of time before returning to rejoin his teammates, but he did not play the end of the first half or the second half of that game, as no big announcements yet on what the injury is right now. We don't know anything, but if he were to miss considerable time with this injury, it would certainly strain an already pretty heavily taxed Knicks starting lineup as they heading into this past Saturday's contest against the Lakers. Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart, and Anunoby all ranked first, second, and third, respectively, in total minutes played so far this season, while Jalen Brunson ranked sixth in the league. So they have four guys in the top 10 of minutes played in the NBA. They already are stretched pretty thin with this five- or six-man rotation Tom Thibodeau likes to run. If they lose OG Anunoby for an extended period of time here, the Knicks will be in trouble. Not as much trouble as if it was a season-ending injury, because then we really have to talk about their competitive level in the playoffs. But as for right now, it's a big blow. Losing anybody in that starting five is a big blow. It doesn't matter if it's Brunson and Kat or if it's Anunoby, Hart, or Bridges. Any one of those guys makes a big impact for this team. So it's certainly a big blow for the Knicks, and hopefully OG Anunoby gets to return sooner rather than later. Another big injury loss in the NBA. DeJounte Murray ruptures his Achilles in the Pelicans' loss Friday night to the Boston Celtics, where he drove into the lane to take a shot, chased his miss, and fell after just, I guess, making a move a bit awkwardly, fell right down, immediately hobbled up towards the Pelicans' bench, and was quickly ruled out in the lower right leg injury. Ended up being announced as a ruptured Achilles. So it's this injury-riddled Pelicans team. You know, they were already without Zion, Brandon Ingram, and Herb Jones in this game. They're 12-37 on the year. And for so far this season, there has not been a single time that Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, and DeJounte Murray shared the floor at a single time. That's crazy. I did not realize that until now. This Pelicans team, who I'm guilty, I always think the Pelicans are a sleeper team. Hey, if Zion's healthy, if they stay healthy, they're a sneaky playoff team. No, they continue year in and year out to disappoint me and disappoint everyone else that picks them as their sleeper team to make the playoffs and make a run, because they're so talented, but they cannot stay healthy. The fact that Zion, Brandon Ingram, and DeJounte Murray did not share the floor one single time this season, that is just ridiculous. The Pelicans have to be cursed or something. All three of those guys need to get out of there, get their careers back on track, because they are all phenomenal players in B.I., Zion, and DeJounte Murray. But when they're not sharing the floor together, it's hard for that team to succeed. So a brutal blow to the Pelicans, and hopefully a speedy recovery for DeJounte, who already missed 17 games earlier this season with a broken hand and led the team in assists at 7.4 a game. So, yeah, it's certainly a brutal blow for the New Orleans Pelicans. Bit of baseball news. The Toronto Blue Jays reached a one-year deal with Max Scherzer, the future Hall of Famer, who's trying to salvage his career after a bit of an injury-plagued season with the Texas Rangers, in which he just made 9 starts, went 2-4 with a 3.95 ERA, and didn't make his first start until June 23rd. Hey, look at that. Made his first start of the season on my birthday, June 23rd, following surgery in the offseason to repair a herniated disc in his back, and then missed all of August with shoulder fatigue, returning to make 1 start in September before a hamstring injury ended his season. Real quick, before we get to the next headline, phone lines lighten up again. Let's see who we got. Welcome to the Hot Seat, caller. Where are you, and what's your name?
Right on Kings Road. You know who it is.
Oh, it's Jimmy the Italian Stallion. What's going on, Jimmy? What do you want to talk about?
That was a shocker of a trade. I'm not a big NBA guy after watching the Knicks not play defense last night against the Lakers.
Yep.
But college basketball, you got to love it.
Yes, you do. I was about to get to that, Jimmy. What was your favorite game from yesterday?
Well, yesterday, unfortunately, I have a friend that's a North Carolina fan, and he turned the TV off after the first 10 minutes. You know, that
was your friend
happen.
Michael Johnson Jr.? Because I know he's a big UNC fan.
No, it was, I am friends with MJ, but it wasn't Michael Johnson. And I was texting my buddy, you better turn it off now, because North Carolina has no height. Duke averages like 6'8 across the front line, and it was college team playing with an elementary team last night. It was pretty pathetic. But what I wanted to discuss, what's great about college basketball, you never know. Here you have a team like Vanderbilt, picked 16th and last in the SEC, and they go out and they beat Tennessee and Kentucky in 1 week.
Yeah.
So you never know who's going to be number one in the country.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Thank you for the call, Jimmy. Always appreciate you listening. This is Jimmy the Italian Stallion with the call, always one of our loyal listeners. And yeah, I was about to get to the college basketball scoreboard right before Jimmy called, as it was a crazy Saturday. Plenty of good matchups. And yeah, Duke, you know, they had a great game against North Carolina. North Carolina's having a bit of a down year. I mean, they still have talent, you know, RJ Davis, they still got some solid guys on that UNC team, but they just struggled against Duke. And Duke's obviously one of the best teams in the nation with Cooper Flagg, Con Canepel. You know, there's really no big surprises there. Cooper Flagg had a great game, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. Yeah, this Duke team is certainly one of the favorites going into March Madness this year, but you never know. Anybody can get it done in March. It's anybody's tournament. As we'll look at the games from yesterday, my Florida Gators unfortunately fall to Tennessee 64-44. Tennessee gets revenge for the 30-point loss in Florida earlier this season. Florida falling to 5-3 in SEC play, so they got some work to do if they want to make the SEC championship again this year. Number 1 Auburn continues to stay undefeated in SEC play, taking down number 23 Ole Miss 92-82 in a bit of a shootout. Duke, like I said, gets the victory over North Carolina 87-70. Kansas State gets the upset over number 3 Iowa State, pushing them to 7-3 overall in conference play on the season. They're all the way down to 4th in the Big 12 conference, trailing Houston, Arizona, and Texas Tech. So Iowa State, despite being number 3 in the nation, dealing with their, just like Florida, their own conference woes, and have some work to do if they want to make the Big 12 tournament. Alabama with a big victory over Georgia, 90-69. Texas Tech, speaking of, takes down Houston, giving them their first loss in Big 12 play this season in overtime, 82-81. The final in what was an absolute, you know, a huge win for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Big loss for Houston, obviously, as that Big 12 conference is really, you know, anybody's to take, especially with Iowa State losing yesterday, like I just said, to Kansas State. Things are shaking up here in the Big 12. As for Texas Tech, it was Chance McMillan leading the way with 23 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. for Houston. LJ Cryer did have 22 and 18 from Juwan Roberts, but not enough to overcome Texas Tech in overtime, as that's a big win for them. Number 7, Michigan State falls to USC 70-64, their first loss in Big Ten play. Number 9, Marquette loses to UConn, who got a big win after UConn coming off back-to-back national championships, having a bit of a down year, but gets the big upset over Marquette there. Baylor, who's unranked, takes down number 11, Kansas, in the upset after coming back from down. I think they were down 19 in this one in the second half. They come back to get the victory. John Calipari, in his return to Kentucky, his Arkansas Razorbacks upset number 12, Kentucky. Number 13, Texas A&M gets the close win over unranked South Carolina, 76-72. Number 20, Missouri upsets number 14, Mississippi State, 88-61, in a pretty big victory out of the SEC there. St. John's gets the win over Providence, Wisconsin over Northwestern, Georgia Tech with the upset over Louisville, and Oklahoma with the big 30-point upset over number 24, Vanderbilt, who, as Jimmy mentioned, coming off victories against Tennessee and Kentucky this past week. Wow, college basketball. You gotta love it. Anybody can beat anybody on any given night. All right, when we come back, it is 11:45. That means it's time to catch up with UAlbany baseball head coach John Bam Bam Mueller here on the hot seat, as we will do every Sunday at 11:45. So stay tuned. Must Listen Radio coming up. Vinny and Bam Bam next here on the hot seat on 104.5 The Team.
Vinny Fredericks here from the hot seat, just wanting to say thank you. Thank you for being a listener. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Or if you're listening live on 104.5 The Team every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. till 12 noon, we appreciate it very much here. And it's because of listeners like you that I continue to do this and follow my dreams. So thank you again for listening and for being a supporter of the Hot Seat and 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. Be on the lookout for new episodes throughout the week and for the live airings every Sunday morning on 104.5 The Team.
It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. The time to hesitate is through. No time to wallow in the mire. Try now, we can only lose. And our love become a funeral pyre.
And we are back here on the hot seat here on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio in Albany, joined by my man John Bam Bam Mueller, UAlbany baseball head coach. Coach, good morning. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you, Benny? Thanks for having me, my man.
Good, good. Appreciate you always taking a few minutes. First, obviously, I got to ask, how was the birthday last week? You know, celebrating with the friends and family. I didn't forget. How was everything?
Well, I asked my wife for no surprise, but, you know, when you turn 40 and 50 and she throws you a banger, you know something's coming. So, yeah, it was great. It was a great atmosphere. A lot of Redskin fans, Commander fans, I'm sorry, came out. And, it was good. It was a good time, obviously. We would have had to play our best game to compete with them. I think you probably know that. And putting the ball on the floor 3 times, still had life until Eckler kicked it up in the third. But, you know, the better team won. And I think that's important. It's a good lesson for people. I always, like I talked to you about before, is if you want to, you know, do the thrill of victory, you got to take your medicine when it's the agony of defeat. And that's what I always try to do, because, you know, hats off to Philly. I think Kansas City's going to have their hands full, but Kansas City, as you know, we'll talk probably more next week. They find a way. You know, it's like when it gets late in the fourth quarter, if it's Mahomes or Jordan, or I'm starting to call him Patrick Jordan, he just finds a way to make plays. And Andy Reid's been the defensive coordinator and the offensive coordinator have done a wonderful job.
Yeah, you said it. Diving right into it here, obviously. Not the outcome you would have liked for your Washington Commanders. I was rooting heavy for them as well. But, You know, they beat themselves. You can't turn the ball over three times, like you said. Going into the offseason here, is there any side of the ball or any position specifically you want to see Washington focus on to try and improve and get Jaden Daniels another chance at making the Super Bowl next year?
Yeah, it's so exciting to hear that come out of your mouth. I don't know how the last time anybody thought about putting that in there. But I think that we used to joke and say our season's the off season because we're so excited and we're going to be good. And, you know, a lot of people listening have teams that are in that 12 to 30 range that are like, oh, I can't wait for our first pick. But I think that I'm going to trust in Adam Peters and our ownership. I think that they know what they need to do. I think the road goes directly through Philly, and there's no ifs, ands, or about it. I think Detroit will be good. Obviously, when you have your quarterback early on, you got that money to play with, third most cap space, 9 draft picks. I think they obviously need another toy for Jaden. Mm-hmm. But I think that they really – I thought they did an average job with the draft when you really look into it. You get an A-plus because of Jaden Daniels, but the tackle struggled. There's been talk about Ronnie Staley. There's a talk about the guy that I really would like to get if they're going to trade Allen is that 6'7", 360-pound kid from Kentucky, the D lineman, who's a freaky athlete.
Yep.
He's like a Jordan Davis. And, you know, you got to get some big guys to battle with those big guys from Philly because they're not going anywhere. They're the third youngest team in the NFL. And I think that I'm going to trust them to make the right choice. I think that I like the idea of take the best guy available. Don't force yourself into a quarterback like the Giants. If I'm the Giants, I'm thinking about trading that pick away. Let's reset this thing for next year and go grab somebody, you know, either shoot big for Matthew Stafford or, you know, grab somebody that can be functional for a year.
Yeah.
And unless you really like the quarterback, but don't force the quarterback. That never works.
Yeah, and especially at number three when you got Tennessee and Cleveland right ahead of you, the quarterbacks they're looking at might be off the board. And then if they have a chance at a Travis Hunter, I feel like you got to take it. And Deion Walker, who you mentioned, the D lineman out of Kentucky, an absolute freak athlete. So I think he'd be great for the Commanders. We'll move on to the other game real quick before we get into UAlbany and whatnot. Bills Chiefs. Did you get a chance to sit down and watch that one? And I know we're not surprised to see Kansas City back in there, but what was your immediate reactions from the AFC Championship, Coach?
Man, what a game. I mean, it's so unbelievable. I just feel for those Buffalo Bills fans. I guess that's my first initial feeling. It's like you want that window still open, but when's that sucker slammed shut? You know, it's so much. I mean, you got to get yourself back off the mat again. I mean, it's like, again, we got sent home by the Chiefs, and what else can we do? And then there's talk about the head coach of Buffalo can't get it done, and you know, people forget when New England dominated the world for 10 years. And now look at New England. It's just the way it's cycles. And, you know, Baltimore, they're not going anywhere. And it's the AFC's a monster. And, you know, it's every year is different. You know, the Giants fans, I'm sure, like Commander fans, worried about. And, you know, the Bears going to be better. Who knows? You know, I will say this on record is when Washington played Detroit and I was watching the offensive coordinator, who's the new head coach in Chicago, I did see some panic in his game early in that second quarter. And that sent me a message where I'm not sure if I want that guy running my ship, you know, him being the captain. But that's my own personal opinion. It'll be interesting to see how he, you know, some of his post comments about things. I always look for that in terms of, you know, the leadership qualities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And you could tell that there certainly was a little bit of panic in the play calling there, and that's kind of why they found themselves in such a big hole that they couldn't climb out of it. And we'll preview the Super Bowl a little bit more next week when we have you on around 11:45. Should be a good matchup, Chiefs and Eagles. But we were talking a little bit before we came on, Coach. You know, I don't know how big into basketball you are, but I know you were reading up on the big Luka Doncic and Anthony Davis trade between the Lakers and the Mavericks. So, Coach, Your immediate reaction, and what team do you think came out with the better end of this deal?
That's a really good question. I don't really know which way to go about it. What I will say is there's been talk about Luka creeping in the 260 range with his weight. He doesn't have a super athletic body as it is. He's a little dumpy, but he's got a filthy game and a great feel and all those things. Those boxes are all checked, but you know, they talk about him being a generational player, but I mean, when it comes to the NBA, I always think of a generational player as somebody that can impact the game on all three levels, defensively, offensively, you know, and having that leadership ability to take everybody around them and make them better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Kobe's, the LeBron's, the, you know, Magic, Bird, Jordan, you know, all those guys. I'll say Isaiah, you know, some of those guys don't know who he is, but, you know, those guys made everybody around them better. And that's something that's such underscored in all these conversations. And the one thing that I don't know if I agree with is Dallas saying that, you know, this center is going to take us to the next level, because I'm not a big Kyrie fan, just because of his time in Boston. I saw a little bit too much me and not enough we when he was there. So that's a concerning thing to me, kind of giving up him for Anthony, you know, a big power forward center type. Now, he's a freak too, but it'll be interesting to see. I mean, that's going to be something. I think is it timing? Is that part of this for Adam Silver or not? You know, that's another question that's been kicked around.
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly came at the right time for them. You know, perfect timing for a big headline out of the NBA, as Adam Silver's talking about 10-minute quarters and how to get viewership up and whatnot. This will do it. This will do it for sure. And, Coach, before we let you go today, how's practice been this week? How have the boys been progressing as the season approaching soon?
I think we're doing good. We're trying to talk about buy-in. We were picked last. We got five last-place votes and one second-to-last-place vote. So, I think that you don't need much bulletin board material. We talked about it one time. We'll never talk about it again, because the only thing that matters is what goes on in our building, what goes on in our clubhouse, what goes on in our building, what we want to talk about. And we want to be make 100% of the average plays, be a premium defensive team in the conference, attack in the strike zone, you know, control the running game and find ways to extend counts and scrap together big innings and, you know, make other people fumble the ball and throw picks and free passes and errors and all those things that we talk about offensively. But we're really, you know, obviously everybody in the country is excited. Everybody's talking about winning the league. So it's really about what are you doing on a daily basis, you know, when there's no live outings today, just, you know, 3 straight hours of a grueling individual defensive offensive practice and some team defense, stuff that's not really high in the, you know, the interest level for some of these young guys. But we finished with the relay race. There's a bunch of juice in the gym. So heading up to get more to watch my daughter play with Aaron, my boy here from Connecticut. He's hanging out. Aaron Cummings coming off a big surgery, but we're getting ready to go sit down and enjoy some Liberty League basketball.
Awesome. Well, safe travels to you, Coach. Enjoy the game, and thank you as always for a few minutes. We'll do this again next week around 11:45. Preview the Super Bowl a little bit, but again, Coach, great job, and thanks as always for a few minutes here.
Hey, keep it going. Great job. Thank you for having me. Go Danes.
Awesome. Thank you, Coach. Coach John Bam Bam Mueller of the UAlbany Great Danes baseball team, joining us every Sunday at 11:45, always bringing the energy and the phenomenal breakdown of the football games, the NBA trade. The guy is a jack of all trades. He wants to talk about three-level players who can help you out on offense, defense, in the locker room. Coach Bam Bam Mueller is one of those guys. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this Sunday edition of the Hot Seat. We'll be back at it next Sunday at 11 a.m. for the Super Bowl preview show here on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. Have a good day, everybody, and thank you again for tuning in.